You know, I really should just take the intro and play it outside for my neighbors one day when I'm out by the pool.
Do you not like your neighbors?
Are you trying to say they wouldn't like my music?
I don't know. What's your goal by doing that?
I don't know. I have speakers that get pretty loud outside that you can hear from the end of the street, which is like, I don't know, 150 yards away, 200 yards.
So, I think no matter what you were playing, your neighbors would hate you.
I know, but they might just be like, what is this? What is this that you're playing, sir? They're either going to say,
this doesn't pull up on my Shazam. What
is
that?
This is awesome, or this is the worst thing I've ever heard. In either way, I can just direct them to Wavespace Audio. Shout out. Don't blame me. They did it.
Free advertising.
Or, hey, they did a great job. Hit them up. So, with that, let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music. And then let's go ahead and thank Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product and cellular needs. We are rolling into episode 117, season 7 still.
Mm-hmm.
And on this episode, we're going to talk about something a little interesting that, you know, I think as we've gotten older, this is something that we're really going to be able to bond on, me and you. This is experiences almost everyone agrees were terrible about our childhood.
Yeah, I mean, I had some good experiences, but some on here, definitely, I was like, oh yeah, that was not enjoyable at all.
You know, when you get older, you really start thinking about some of these things that have traumatized you. Like, that you hold on to that memory, not because it was good, because you were traumatized.
Yeah, yeah, trauma has a way of sticking with you into adulthood. Even if you've healed from it, you never forget it.
Exactly. So let's get into the list, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
What we got?
I think you have to go over this first one, because some of this stuff doesn't really apply to me, especially the part where it says, well, I'll let you read it. You'll see.
Okay. Which one is it? You're talking about where we feel like we grew up in a sweet spot being a child of the 80s?
Yep, that one, very first one.
Okay. Well, it doesn't say like a number next to it. So as a child,
I know, but I was not alive in the 80s.
I know, I was alive in the 80s. So this thing says, as a child of the 80s, I always felt my generation grew up in a sweet spot of sorts. We had arcades, home entertainment systems, which would have been like Nintendo and Sega, the early days of the internet, Blockbuster movie nights, big hair, unbridled patriotism, and the list goes on and on and on.
I guess the ones I can relate to in that are like arcades for sure. But not arcades with like old school games, like they would have been like the new 2000s games. We did have a big like home entertainment system in my house. And I went to Blockbuster like maybe a couple times.
I would say the thing that was traumatic about that as a child, in particular, like let's say arcades. You couldn't save anything. Well, let's just go into the home entertainment system, into Sega and Nintendo. You couldn't save anything. There was no save function. You had to play that game at the arcade. You drop the quarter in. You got to play it, and you got to pump more money in it. There's nothing you can save. At home, if you play a game and you're trying to beat it, you just have to be really good at it. Because if you die, you're done. You can't save it. You can't come back. It sucked. Mm-hmm. There were many games. The one that traumatized me the most was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And there was this part of Ninja Turtles where they're like underwater and they're having to dismantle bombs. And it was the hardest thing ever because you're like going through like this little maze and you have like electric eels that you got to avoid so you don't get shocked and all this stuff. And you know, you had four turtles, obviously, if you got to that level and you had all four of them alive still. But like, I don't know anybody that passed that. I don't think I know anybody that passed that part in Ninja Turtles. It's like if you
pass. So you're telling me you're playing this game and you have to put money in it to start. And then every time you die, you have to start over and put more money in the machine again.
That was at the arcades. But I'm saying like at home, like on a Sega or a Nintendo, there was no save.
Oh,
there was no save function. There was no, that didn't come out, I believe, until the Sega Saturn. Which you probably don't even remember the Sega Saturn. Because my buddy had one. And it had like a save function. It's like, what's that? And it's like, you can save it. what do you mean you can save it? Like, yeah, you can hit this little button and it records it and you can start here. Like, holy crap, this is great. And then later on with newer games, they all have memory now. You can save and you can resume from where you died. But back then, no, you couldn't. And so that was quite traumatizing. The other thing, the video stores were great. Don't get me wrong. But you go to like Blockbuster, and back then we didn't really have Blockbuster. We didn't have that until I was in my teens. But when I was a younger kid, we had a local video store called Video Express. And Video Express, you know, we're a mom and pop little video store. We had a population of like 8,000-10,000 people. Well, dude, if a new game came out, they only had one or two copies of it. So that was traumatizing, because if you didn't get that game, you got to get on a list and you got to wait. And that new game might not be ready. You know, you might not be able to get that game for weeks. Same thing with movies. They had movies, but they didn't have like 72 copies of a movie. So if a new movie came out and you missed out, you're SOL till next week. Those were traumas. Dang. Those were first world traumas for us back in the 80s.
How long did you get to keep a movie?
So when it was a new release, it was a 2 day. And by 2 day, they mean like tonight. Like if I rented it tonight and then tomorrow and I got to return it back. But then if it was an older release, you could keep it a third day, I believe. And then it was like $1 or $2 each day you were late. Which I had some late fees, I ain't gonna lie. And if you didn't rewind the movie, that's a whole other fee. It's like $1 fee to rewind the movie.
Oh, I heard that was a thing.
Yeah, Be Kind, Rewind. That was the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was...
I didn't go to Blockbuster much, but we did go to a few times. I remember going to Hollywood Video.
Oh, yeah, that was the rival.
Except when I went, it wasn't VHSs, it was DVDs by the time I was old enough to like go and shop around with my parents.
Hollywood was the rival to Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it was fun, but it was also some trauma attached to it. And that's stuff that, you know, my kid has it easy. He can save everything. Especially going back to the video games. He can save everything. Can't save crap. I had to play the whole thing in one night. I had to, you know, if I wanted to beat the game, I had to pause it and take a nap and then wake up and play. Couldn't save it for another day. There was no other time. It was now. Like... They have it easy now.
That might be the case, for sure. He doesn't know how lucky he has it.
There was one time, I don't remember what game it was, but I was playing it and I was really far along in it. And I sat, I think I sat Indian style, and I got a cramp. I got like a Charlie horse on my calf, and I couldn't like recover fast enough to pause the game, and I lost. I was so mad.
Aww. For sure, Geo.
So, yeah, those things were real. You couldn't pause it. You just lose. Yeah. So let's move on to something else here. What else was another
trauma? This one hit me head on and made me remember my trauma. But in elementary school, we all had to do the presidential fitness test. And I hated it. At least I think we did the presidential fitness test. I just remember we had to do at least that or some type of like state mandated physical test. And it just was the worst thing ever because we had to do like laps and what's it called when you just run back and forth and you have to like touch a line and then run to the other side of the court suicides? And touch a line. And you do that back and forth a gajillion times.
Like suicides?
Suicides, we had to do those, we had to do the pace test, we had to do flexibility tests. The only thing I'm grateful we didn't have to do was like a rope climb because my gym at the time didn't have a rope to climb, but I'm sure that could have been included. I don't know how to climb a rope. But no, that was, I hated that. That was like the not fun part of PE.
So you're about 10 years, no, what, you're 32?
I'm 31, sir.
31, sorry. Okay, you're 31. You're 11 years younger than me. I don't remember a presidential fitness test. So this must have been something that came out in your generation because your generation was becoming lazy compared to ours, if I had to guess. Because we didn't have to do that. We ran around plenty in the 80s and 90s. So we didn't have to do a test. The only thing I remember is that I think in seventh grade, they wanted us to run a mile and they wanted to clock us to see how quickly we could run a mile. But other than that, I don't remember any physical assessments unless they were doing it and not telling us it was that, you know? But
I remember running the mile in middle school. I was horrible at it, and I am to this day.
I just remember we ran the mile, and then when we were little at gym, like, at gym every day or recess, like we always ran laps, all that stuff. But dodgeball. But no, I don't remember there being like an actual assessment. The only assessment we had was that one in middle school, and then I think in fifth or sixth grade we had to do the scoliosis test, like where they check your spine and make sure you don't have scoliosis. And that's it.
That's not like a physical
No, but
education
I'm
test.
saying that's the only thing they did to us physically. That's the only thing they
Well,
won't.
lucky you.
We didn't have to do anything else. They figured we were healthy.
Man. Well,
So
they're getting rid of recess. That was a time where like
they
schools
are.
were getting rid of recess because they wanted kids to have more classes. So it's like, oh, you can't run outside at recess, so we got to make sure you're physically fit at gym. Yeah, I don't know.
So, for anybody just now hopping in, we're talking about experiences that people agree were terrible about our childhoods. This one here is all you, sister, because I'm not a woman and I don't know, but I think it's something you should talk about.
Sure, this person wrote in. I knew nothing about periods when I got mine at 13 in the year 2000. I told my mom I got my period, and then I asked her, how many more minutes till it's over? And she was like, oh, honey, you're gonna bleed nonstop anywhere between 3 to 10 days. And then this person cried. They really thought having a period meant having, blood come out of you for like 10 or 15 minutes. Once a month, and then that was it. That was your period. And she had no idea.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
That sounds wonderful to have a period for 10 minutes once a month. I would give anything. I would give my left foot to have that. Because the latter, what it actually is horrible. I don't know what grade you were in when your school gave you like the talk. About the birds and the bees and, girls get the period talk and all that. But I think I was in like, what, fourth or fifth grade when they talked about it? I
So,
remember they separated the boys and the girls and they gave us the talk.
okay, so in the fifth grade, they did that with the girls. They separated the girls because all the guys are like, well, why are they getting to go and we're not? And they're like, the coach is like, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards we figure out we're being told by the girls what happened. But we didn't have like the actual like birds and the bees sex ed stuff until like sophomore year, which by then we already knew everything. So we didn't, some of us from trial and error. So it's like, why are we having this class now? Should have had it earlier.
Yeah, I think I got the fifth grade talk, a few years after this, and I had already had friends that had already gotten their periods, and so I kind of had a good idea of what to expect. The only thing like they didn't have yet were like cramps and bloating and like all the symptoms you get with a period, because when you're that young and you just get it, you don't really have symptoms or side effects from it. That's when you get a little bit older. So that's what they don't prepare you for is, they'll tell us, this is what's going to happen. You need to buy these pads, these tampons, and then you'll have some cramping. So maybe you might have to take some Advil, right? No. Sir. Sir, they and I'm pretty sure it was women who were giving us this talk, and you would think they would have been like, "Okay, let's be for real." You are going to have cramps that are so bad, they're going to make you vomit and make you curl up in a ball to where you can't walk and you can't come to school. They don't tell you that,
Well,
but that's what's going to
and the
happen.
other thing they don't tell you is that like there's different levels of flow, different levels of bleeding.
Yes.
Some of you are gonna bleed worse than others. They don't really tell you that, right? I mean, I remember that. I remember that there were some like, there were girls in school, like in middle school, that were like talking about them, like, oh, mine's not that bad. Yours is terrible. No, that's like. But none of them knew like that was potentially what could happen. Is that, you're gonna bleed like a gunshot victim and then you're gonna drip out a little bit. Like that's kind of, they don't really tell them like, and hey, we don't know which one you are until it happens. Guess what? We don't know.
Sometimes I wish that they would bring the boys in for that talk because boys at that age and teenage boys especially, like, sure, they'll hear girls talking about it like you did, but they don't like know. Like they still don't like grasp how like frustrating it is. And like they just kind of learn about it from word of mouth, or maybe they, nowadays they can Google it, but they hear about it from word of mouth and they think they know what it is and they think they understand it, but they don't. And I feel like that should start with them getting in that room with us in the fourth or fifth grade and saying, "Boys and girls, this is what a period is. And girls, this is what you're going to experience. And boys, this is important for you to know in case you end up having a girlfriend or a wife one day, or you want to understand women, listen up."
Well, yeah, because it would have made certain things easier, and you really didn't learn that until you start dating. Like once I started dating, and I didn't really start like like steady long-term girlfriends until I was like late junior high, early high school. And that's when I really got to see like, how bad it could be. But up until then, no, I really didn't know. So, yeah, that's something that they probably should have brought up because I think it would have helped you cope with it better because you there's still like a as a guy you still got to be able to cope with it. You got to be able to understand that certain things are not your doing. She's acting like a monster not because of you, but because of this, Or hey, she's in really bad pain and it's not as simple as like, oh, take some Midol and go lay down. Like sometimes the pain is worse. So, yeah, I think that that's something they should have done a better job at. So another thing that traumatized many children growing up. This one says, our dad's making us drink that gross cough medicine and standing there with a threatening aura waiting for us to drink it. I don't know about you, but cough medicine in the 80s tasted terrible. It didn't have it, there was no flavor. You couldn't buy cherry flavored or strawberry or wild berry, whatever. It was just like motor oil. And that was it. That was the only flavor you had.
This, I'm not, I'm going to be completely transparent right now. This topic is what traumatized me out of all the other ones, like even more than the period one. Because I, to this day, when I was a kid, and I'm a kid like late 90s, early 2000s, cough medicine still wasn't great. And if it was, my parents did not buy the good stuff. My parents only bought Robitussin. Now, I don't know what flavor. Maybe it was cherry, maybe it was grape. I don't ever remember tasting cherry or grape. All I remember tasting was like, to me, it tasted like gasoline.
Yeah,
That's
it's
what I remember.
terrible.
And to this day, if I smell Robitussin, I immediately want to vomit. I cannot take it. I cannot do it. It pretty much ruined all liquid forms of medicine for me. So anytime I have to take medicine, I like to take like a pill before taking anything liquid because I hated it so much as a kid. I was like, I'd rather get sick and die, mom. Like, I don't want to drink this. It's so awful.
It was terrible. Like some of them would like you really would gag when you drank it because it was just like, oh, it's terrible. And it had this horrible taste to it. And again, we didn't have all the flavors they have now. They just had like ass. This was the flavor is ass. Like all we got one flavor. It's called ass.
I had a bad cold a few weeks ago, and I had some liquid like Dayquil medicine for colds. And even though that doesn't taste too awful, I remember holding the cup going, "I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. I'd rather just stay sick. I can't drink this." So I drank it with a water chaser
Oh yeah,
because
I used to chase it
I
with
was
water.
so scared.
But you know what? Drinking that nasty medicine and chasing, and drinking it really fast and chasing it helped us become better drinkers. We're probably alcoholics because we were so used to taking shots. So, we just take it and just muscle it up and just swallow it, and that's kind of how you do with shots now as an adult. So it kind of prepared you for it. Here's another one, and I do recall being traumatized by this topic. Giving a presentation in front of the class when you're not used to it. Like, I remember public speaking. I mean, it's hard to think about it now because I'm pretty good at it and I'm comfortable. But gosh, back then, man, oh, you're so awkward and you feel like you're sweating, even if you might not be, or if you are sweating, you feel like it's profusely and you're talking and you're mumbling and you're stammering and like it just sounds terrible. You're shaking, like you've got the little card, the little index cards, and you're shaking. And there's nothing got like I remember when we did speech, we had like a podium, and this podium had like was covered, you know, there's like a little shelf under it so people couldn't see behind you. They couldn't see behind the podium. And then at some point the teacher's like, "Okay, you're not going to do it by a podium anymore. You're just going to stand here in front of everybody. And they can see everything you're doing. They can see your foot fidgeting and your hands and you're rubbing your palms and you're wiping your brow." And like, that was really scary. That was really scary.
For me, my issue always was and still is to this day is that I'll be talking and giving my presentation. And for some reason, whenever I'm talking in front of a crowd or, you know, I'm presenting anything, even this happens to me at work sometimes, even though I'm comfortable at work in my job, my throat gets dry. My throat gets so dry that I have to cough and like I start coughing. So here I am trying to talk and I'm constantly going, "Oh, I need some water." And then I can't talk anymore because my throat gets so dry. And I don't know if that's a symptom of me being nervous or what, but that I have a very similar issue. I don't necessarily sweat and I don't stammer, but I just end up sounding like a scratchy old lady because my throat gets dry. That's so funny to you.
It is. It is. I mean, especially now for me to think that I was like that, because I'm not like that now. Now I can just talk about whatever in front of whoever, and I'm, for the most part, I'm okay. Like, I still get jitters, but nowhere near like that. And I've learned to kind of control those, like, all that stuff that's usually in your head. But yeah, looking back at it now, it was hilarious to think that I can do this when I couldn't even do that back then, you know? So I think
with time and age comes confidence.
Yeah. Here's another experience that we can all agree sucked as kids. The final week of a long school break. So the big example would be summer. You get 2 months off, and then that last week, it's so depressing. Because like the freedom's gone, your parents are making you go to bed early because you got to like retrain yourself to go to bed early and to, you know, like not eat after a certain time and to get up at a certain time. That last week is just like, it's almost like you kind of lost that last week of summer because you already kind of got to get into that mode. But it was always depressing.
Yeah, because you can't. You spend your days, playing outside, watching TV whenever you wanted, hanging out with your friends at any time of the day. And it's also the time of year where you can go swimming or go to the beach or go to the lake, go to camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all these, summer is like its own little world. I felt like when I was a kid, mm-hmm. especially when I did, you know, things like that, it just felt like its own complete own timeline.
Yes.
And then it has to end because you have to go back to school. And especially like if you're going, you know, back to the same school, just up a grade, it's like, man, I have to deal with the lockers and that dumb teacher I don't like that's mean to me. And the food sucks. And I have to go back to PE. And I just want to stay home and, you know, play video games and ride my bike. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels more intense when you're a kid at that age.
Oh, yeah. And then when you knew you were going to a new school, like when you were going from elementary school to middle school, then it's like a whole different group of friends. It's not just your buddies that are in your grade, but it's like older kids and teachers you don't know. Like, oh, man, I remember that was traumatic. Like, mm-hmm. you had a whole other set of anxiety leading up to that. So
you know, it was really, really hard.
It was being a kid. I mean, it's still hard, I think, now, even for kids. But, you know, obviously the internet makes it a little different because they connect more and they stay connected longer. Especially back then, we didn't have phones. There were kids that I wouldn't see again until the beginning of the year. Most kids, I would see you the last week of school or the last day of school. And, like, I might not see you again for 3 months. I might not even see you at all. Like, some kids would just not come back. He's like, "Where's Jimmy?" It's
and then
like
some
moved.
Kids you saw again after 2.5-3 months, and they look completely different because maybe they had a growth spurt. Maybe they're taller. Maybe they started going through puberty. Their voice dropped. You don't know. And it's like, who are you?
Yeah, you're not my friend anymore. Or maybe they found new friends during the summer. Like, they found some other clique, and now you come back, and, like, you're not cool enough for them. There was a lot of things that happened. Gosh. Yeah, it's like, oh, don't hang out with Sergio. He's not cool anymore. So this one I can't relate to because I never had them. But this was talking about braces as a child.
Oh, this one's all me. So this one's talking about braces, and people who didn't have braces cannot understand how awful it is. So you've never had braces, Sergio?
No, never had braces.
Oh my God, count your blessings. I mean, it's great if you have really messed up teeth and you really, really want to straighten them, but you have to understand the pain the first few days after one getting them on and then going back and getting them tightened every couple weeks or every few weeks is awful. It is one of the worst painful experiences of my life, and I don't wish it on anyone. The fact that they don't even give us like prescription strength pain medicine for this kind of blows my mind. They're like, oh, just take some Tylenol, that's all you need. I'm like, no, can I have like an 800 milligram Tylenol? Because if it's not that, then I'm just gonna go home and take like six at once, and then because it hurts so bad, you can't eat, you can barely drink, it hurts to talk, it hurts to brush your teeth, it hurts to do anything.
Yeah, so Andrew has bracelets, braces right now, and he is, he's like 6 or 8 months into it. And yeah, he just went to the ortho like a couple of days ago of this recording, and they tightened them, and they little readjustments, and the next day he's like, Dad, I can't eat, like I can, and then the next day it's like, Dad, I need something really soft. It was like 3 or 4 days before he ate something like solid. But it's like he wakes up in the middle of the night, my head hurts. It's just, yeah, dude, those things are brutal. Even now, I mean, whatever technology we have, they're still brutal.
Yeah, because if you think about it, your tooth, it has like a long root, right? So if you think about the roots of your teeth that go deep into your jaw and your mandible or whatever it's called, I don't know. That's what's moving. It's not just the part you see in your mouth. Like it's moving inside there. So every time they get tightened, like if you touch them or put pressure on them by brushing your teeth or trying to eat, you feel that pain shoot all the way up the roof, the root of the tooth. And so like if it's on your, one of your top teeth, you feel that pain shoot up into your head and like your eyes in that area. And then if it's in the root on your bottom teeth, it like shoots down into your jaw.
Ooh.
And it just, oh, it's so bad. You just want to like rip your teeth out. And you're like, I'll take fake teeth. Like rip them out and give me dentures. I can't do this. Ugh. Oh, and I had a Herbst. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
So I had an overbite. So in order for me, if I didn't fix it, like if they didn't fix it, what would have happened was if I had top and bottom braces, my top teeth would have hit my bottom teeth because my jaw wasn't in the right position.
Oh, wow.
So, in light of getting headgear, I got this thing called a Herbst device. And what this was, I had like four silver caps on my teeth, two in the top, two in the bottom, like way in the back. And these caps had like these like metal bar rods connected to them on the top and the bottom. So like a little rod would insert on the bottom, would insert into a rod that was connected to the top. And so basically those were on the sides of my mouth and it connected my jaw to the rest of my head and it would position my jaw in the correct position so that I wouldn't have an overbite anymore. And I had that thing for a full year because as I grew, as like a kid does, my jaw grew into the right position.
So, when did you
And
wear that?
what sucked about this is that I couldn't open my mouth super, super wide because if I did, the rods would like come undone and I'd have to put them back together. And I also couldn't really move my jaw side to side because the rods prevented certain movement. So I literally, after I got this thing put in my mouth, I had to relearn how to talk. I had to relearn how to eat.
What?
I had to relearn how how to play my musical instrument because I was in band, which is a horrible time to have braces because you can't play your instrument because it hurts.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was either that though or headgear. So that was a rough year for me.
But that was in your mouth all the time?
Yes, it was in my mouth for a whole year, these metal rods.
Well, so does the headgear just come on like at night, like a retainer?
I think your orthodontist tells you if you have to wear it 24 hours a day or if you only have to wear it at night. I'm not sure, and I don't know if I had gotten headgear if I would have had to wear it all day, but I think my parents were trying to save me from that humiliation.
Yeah.
And this just, I guess, maybe worked faster too, so they went with that option.
It was an entirely different humiliation.
But it worked. It fixed it. It fixed my overbite. And so they took that out. I literally had that for exactly a year during the year I was 13. And they took that out. And then I got bottom braces. So I had top and bottom braces for like 3 more years. And then it was over.
So when you had that, it's a Hertz device?
Hertz.
Hertz. Hertz.
Mm-hmm. Hertz. I guess it's the guy who invented it. Hurt, I'm
like
not
Hertz,
really
like
sure.
Like this is going to hurt you?
Oh, we're back to dad jokes.
So how big could you open your mouth?
I mean, it's not that it prevented me from opening my jaw all the mm-hmm. way that it could. I still could physically, except when I did that, the rods would slide out. And so I'd have to like slide them back together. I mean, I probably had like, I don't know, 60-70%.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you could. You
I mean, could... I could still eat, but like, could I eat like a huge, huge, big, like burger or sandwich and take a huge bite out of that? No, I couldn't. I'd have to have like something thinner, or I'd have to like use a fork and knife and take a smaller bite.
The thing that sounds like it would be the most painful to eat would be a crunchy taco. That sounds terrible right now with that thing in your mouth.
I don't really like crunchy tacos, so I don't know if I really ate those much.
I don't know why,
but
that just sounds like that would have been terrible with that thing.
Anything really that you would pick up and bite directly into was tough. So like the only thing I think that was easy was maybe pizza, because pizza was pretty flat. Mm-hmm. But anytime I ate a sandwich or, you know, again, a burger, anything like that was difficult. I ate with a fork and a knife a lot.
So again, we're talking about experiences that almost all people can agree were horrible as children. This is one I can relate to. My dad forgot his wallet once when he filled up his gas tank. This was back in the day when you'd have to pay inside after you filled up. He left me at the gas station for collateral while he went home to get his wallet. It was an awkward 15 minutes. So yeah, back in the day, you didn't have debit cards, nothing like that. You know, you wrote a check or you had cash. That's all you had. And you didn't have cell phones. You know, nobody could Zelle you money or nobody, you know, you didn't have an Apple Watch where you could just use it to pay. No, it's like if you didn't have cash and like you forgot your money, it'd be like, here, like, hold on to something. I'll be right back. I'm trustworthy. And usually it was your kid. So... that was the biggest form of collateral with your child.
I mean, if you forgot your wallet, what else is there to give the person other than you? Like, what is he going to do? Give him your shoes?
Yeah.
Here's my jacket.
So, you know, people were very trustworthy. Obviously, they were trustworthy enough to leave a kid with a stranger, but then they were also trustworthy that you weren't just going to abandon. Like, you weren't just going to take off and haul ass. They're like, oh, man, go get it and come right back. But I've seen stuff happen like that at the gas station. I saw stuff like that happen at the grocery store, you know, it didn't, you know, kind of anywhere, because again, it was checks and it was cash. That's all you had. Very rarely did you pay with a credit card. So yeah, it was the 80s.
It's like, how much is your kid worth to you?
You know, whatever, $15 in gas. I'll be right back. Don't worry.
I will say my mom and dad never did that to me. I was never used as collateral because they forgot their money.
You know, and
if they forgot their money and we didn't have to have the thing, I think one time we wanted to go out for lunch or something and my mom forgot to put cash in her wallet or whatever the case was. She's like, oh, I guess we're not going out to eat. It's not like she took me to McDonald's, left me at McDonald's and then went home to get money.